This is Kevin Campbell, and you're listening to Chewing the Cud with the Irish Toffees. Come on, you Blues!
Welcome along, folks, to the next episode of Chewing the Cud. Today we're going to look back at two wins back-to-back. So I'll often say that. The win in the league against West Ham and the cup game against Burnley. And look ahead then to, on paper, a tough game tomorrow, home to Brighton. Just myself, Colly and Chris. Afternoon, lads.
Hey, Joe. How's things? Hey, lads.
How are you guys? How's it going?
Rich can't make it today. He's a bit busy, but I just want to say congratulations to him and a few others, Mick O'Callaghan and Bernie Gerdy. Ran the Dublin Marathon last week, so fair play to these lads.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even fucking do it in taxi. No chance. No way. I'm getting knackered looking at the running past me. All right, anyway, well done, lads. And everyone else who've done it. Just bugs me someone doing 26 miles. Yeah. And not a friend of mine. He's City, but he'd done his 10th one there last week, so he's finished now. Well done to you, Mick, anyway. Okay, we'll get into this. West Ham away. Colin, basically, what I would say is the perfect away performance. Just kind of sit in, let them have the ball, and then just play in the break.
Yeah, I think you hit us nail on the head there, Joe. Everything from minute one to the 90th minute for me was all spot on. Thought Deutsch got it bang on again. I thought he played well. And in fairness, Joe, you know, I know they put a bit of pressure coming towards the end, but you're fairly comfortable for the large majority of that game, yeah. You know. Obviously went 1-0 ahead with absolutely terrific finish from Dom. I know people will go on about Brantley and you know, I'll speak about him later on in the podcast, but he won the tackle, laid it off into Dom, then Dom quick turn, bang, goal. And we could have won by more, Joe, you know, the kind of way. So yeah, dare I say green shoots of recovery, maybe, I don't know. But certainly I didn't expect to get beaten. I said that last week on the pod. I thought we'd come away with something, but kind of lean, and I know I gave a win at 3-2. Obviously overly ambitious with the scoreline, but I think we fully deserved the 3 points, Joe.
Yeah, I think 100%. You could say the perfectly right performance, Chris, like, as in just, here, lads, have the ball. We just sit here, let's just do what we just want, fluff around and do nothing. And just a couple of stats. So, like, possession-wise, we'd only 36%, but with 4 shots on target to there, too. So that's just proof is in the pudding there.
Yeah, and, like, it wasn't a great spectacle, first half especially, and, like, it was dreadful, but that's what you want when you go away in a game like that. You know, take the sting out of it as an away team. Early doors, don't give them any encouragement. Just be hard to beat, be compact. Just try and slow things down, disrupt the flow of the game, quieten their crowd. And, you know, I thought we'd done that quite well without offering an awful lot in the early period of the game. But we grew into it then as the game went on. And so we actually played some nice, actually, little patches of football at times as well. We kept the ball relatively well, showed a bit of composure and stuff. But it's just, you know, I wrote that off. Not wrote it off, but I wasn't expecting that. And I thought we'd go down there and get beat. But it's just, it's great to be able to kind of go into these games and not completely just write them down as a defeat, you know. Like, that's Brentford away, Villa away, West Ham. You know, games which I probably would have had us down to lose to 3 of them, to be honest with you, on paper, you know. And if that was last season, possibly we may have. So, like you said, it's great that there seems to be a bit of recovery now in terms of the mentality going away as well. That even as away fans, like, obviously we go away a good bit as well. And at times the last couple of years, you've been going into away games and just kind of expecting to get beaten every week, regardless of the opposition, you know. So it's nice that travelling fans can actually go into these games with a bit of optimism and a bit of hope that, you know, we can get a result. It's not always going to be pretty, but you know, it's just like you said about possession. You have to cater to your opposition as well. It's going to suit us to be compact, be defence orientated, be hard to beat, be strong, be physical, do a lot of running. But we seem to have a bit of continuity in the team now in terms of there's not a whole lot of changes to the first 11. We have a focal point in Calvert-Lewin, who's playing really well in all aspects of his game as well. And he's providing that outlet. And we're getting more bodies into the box. Even though the XG isn't as high, we're being a little bit more clinical now, that there's a bit of partnerships developing throughout the team, a bit of understanding. And we're just becoming more on the same page, I think, as a unit and as a collective. And that continuity will hopefully, you know, we talk about consistency. We're starting to finally see a little bit of consistency in performance and results now.
Yeah, I think the key, when you play a game with that colleague, like letting other teams have possession, the key to actually getting something out of the game is having an out ball or, you know, somewhere to go to. And Dom, like he's just back to his best now. I mean, everything is sticking to him. And, like, you can see the confidence. I mean, the little turn for the goal, little swivel and bang. But it's key to have him take the ball and hold it and wait for us to get other players to get forward to.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more, Joe, I have to say. I think Deutsch has been amazing with Calvert-Lewin. I really do.
Patient.
Oh, you know, and I don't know whether you've seen his recent interview with the Athletic. I think he said in the interview that when Deutsch came in, he said, look, you're not ready to play. When you are ready, you know, we'll look at you then, type of thing. So, Deutsch took the pressure on his shoulders rather than Calvert-Lewin's shoulders. And okay, initially we may have been impatient, as a lot of us are, Joe, but I think it's starting to pay dividend now. I don't know about you. I was obviously at the match on Wednesday. I think Calvert-Lewin has lost muscle, and I actually think it's better for him. I don't think he's what's the word I'm looking for? He obviously is extremely lean, but he seems to have lost a bit of muscle mass, which I actually think has benefited him. But he's so fit. He is back up to Calvert-Lewin under Ancelotti, and maybe even in some respects he's surpassed that, Joe. You know, and I'll go on to it in a bit. You guys go over the matches quite a lot, and you've often said, you know, when you're over the match, you see players differently, and there's certain players that I seen differently on Wednesday night, haven't been over, and it's been a long time since I was last over, that you kind of say, wow, you know, I don't think you get the full impact of how players, impact of players on the team until you see it live, if you know what I mean. I'm probably talking through my arse here, but I just thought Calvert-Lewin, you know, he is that out ball, you know, the kind of way. And I know we have Schmetti and Beto on the bench, but I just don't think they're there yet for various reasons. But certainly if we can get 70-80% of the season out of Calvert-Lewin, we certainly won't be in trouble this year.
Yeah, I think the key as well, there's a few factors, obviously fitness being the one, Chris, but confidence is just, you can see it oozing through him now. Like he's taking shots on that he might not have done before. But also, the fact that he had a baby as well kind of helps as well. But, I mean, you could just see he's just... I always say, you know, players are confident. They're looking for the ball. They're asking for it. And he's just looking for it all the time now.
He seems to have turned that corner now. And I think there was an element of psychology as well to it with his injuries. He was playing within himself, even when he was playing, that fear of getting hurt again, because it just becomes a big thing over a 2-year period. And he got a lot of different injuries as well, you know. So, you know, factors could be at play there. Like Carl said, he was a couple of kilos heavier, a bit more impact on the joints. He's lost a bit of his athleticism, and, you know, now he's feeling a bit lighter, a bit quicker, a bit more agile, you know. So he built up the joints, built up the strength a little bit more. And again, he's a bit more experienced as well. So he's more, we spoke about him being a bit more composed in front of goal, and just his overall game just developing naturally. And he's still only, 26? So he still has a couple more years to go before he's probably, you know, in his peak for a centre forward. So, know, long, please go, we get a bit of luck with him, with his fitness, and he makes the players around him better, you know, being that focal point. The ball's into the box, he's going to get on the end of them. The ball's upfield are sticking. We're getting Decore up amongst them, running off them. The wingers are getting around them. And we just function better as a team with Dom in the team, you know. Even though he's not always winning the headers or he's not scoring every game, but he's occupying the defenders. He's getting them thinking. They can't switch off. He's creating space for other players. And, you know, even if he's not winning a header, the centre-back has to compete. They have to head it out or put it out for a throw-in. And it's just getting us up the pitch, having an out ball. You know, we're not a fantastic team in terms of sustaining possession. We know technically we do lack in parts. So you need to have that out ball when you are on the back foot and when you are kind of under spells possession to get us up the pitch and try and turn the screw. And but yeah, just a bit of luck now. You know, on paper, first 11, I think you said, we're getting a bit of consistency. But we are still 2-3 injuries away from that quality level really dropping off.
Mm.
And the overall kind of style of play having to be tinkered with, possibly, if we do miss a player or two. But, you know, the longer Dom is in, like Colm said, it gives Chimiti and Beto a chance to kind of adapt to, you know, it's a new league, it's a new country, new culture, it's physical. I'm sure they're on individual programs themselves. Beto's an animal now, he's huge. But,
yeah,
you know, there's different characteristics to the game and the league. It's a bit quicker, he mightn't have as much time. Chimiti, maybe he's probably on a strength program to build up. Big lad, but probably add that little bit of muscle the opposite way and, you know, develop that physicality in the league and just all these little personal programs are on. And that just gives them time to chip away and get themselves more equipped to be able to play Premier League football. And when they are called upon to come on or even start or play cup games or whatever at that, we don't have to change a whole lot. We can still persist with the same style and nothing really changes, you know.
Mm.
Although they all have their own, you know, differences as players, they're still three, you know, tall, physical lads that can be a focal point. It could be a target man that you could play off and get bodies in and around, set piece threats as well. So they're all similar in some ways, but they're different players in other ways. But again, it's just good to have options. Takes the pressure off the newer lads. Dom can, you know, come off like he did against Burnley the other night after 60, 70 minutes, and you can bring someone else on. You don't have to just play him because you have nobody else, and there's not a huge quality drop off. So, yeah, just hopefully a bit of luck now. He can stay fit, and, you know, not playing for England and stuff like that is good. And, you know, these pointless friendlies that he's having to go, and when we have international breaks, he's getting a good rest as well. He can recover, and yeah, just again, hopefully keep that consistency going. And he's already 4 goals already this season since he's come back, and you know, long may it continue.
Absolutely, I think that's the key as well. Like when Dom was out for a while, we didn't have anyone even close to the quality of him. We had Maupay, we were floating around with other lads, and it just wasn't happening. But I think the key is keeping him fit, obviously, but having others kind of chomping at the bit, ready to go when called upon, which we'll get into in a minute on Beto. But I think options as strikers is just vital if you want to get anywhere. I mentioned earlier, Colly, and first thing I wrote down today was Brantway, and the chap is just an absolute Rolls Royce of a player. I said the other day in the chat, so calm on the ball. But the thing that struck me, and it was mentioned in, I don't know whether you watched, there was a thing on TNT Sports, used to be BT, it's called Around the Block. And it's a car, basically lads get into a car with either Joe Cole or Peter Crouch. But before the derby, Tarkowski and Dwight McNair get in the car with Joe Cole and drove from Goodison down to Bramley Moor, and they have a chat and stuff like that. But one of the sections is he takes out a list of questions, and one of them was, who's the quickest player at the football club? And both of them said, in a flash, Jared Brantway, which amazed me. But yet, when I seen the West Ham game, Antonio went past him and he just overtook him. Just literally just flew past him, got the ball, played it back to Pickford. Now, the speed of this chap is, it doesn't look like it. I said it before about Decore. Looks like he's running in slow motion. But the actual speed of the young fella, it's just amazing.
Jared Brantley is a Rolls Royce of a footballer, Joe, and thankfully we haven't signed up for another, whatever, long-term contract. But let's call a spade a spade. The way he has been this season, you know, big clubs are watching him. They're looking at him, Joe, you know, the kind of way. And not that you want to be defeatist in any way, but Brantway, more than likely himself, Ronan, will probably be our biggest selling asset, certainly at the minute. Brantway is, he can use both feet, good in the air, left side of centre half, which is a rare commodity in today's market. He's calm. He's got pace. The chap is, yeah, he has it all, Joe. And I can't see it being too long now till he's brought into the senior England setup. Just going on to the West Ham game and watching them. And I love going in and watching the warm ups. And I noticed that the back four warm up together. And then you have Keane and Godfrey then putting in high balls into them. And Tarkowski, which kind of goes maybe unnoticed by people watching on TV, he never stops talking to the lad. Yeah. I think, you know, Chris already mentioned about partnerships. There's such a good partnership forming there. And it's such a good partnership. Obviously, Brantley's left footed, Tarkowski's on the right. But it's an old head versus a young head, if you know what I mean. But even it notice that during the game and he doesn't stop talking to him and he's telling him to step out, step in, you know, the kind of, but not only him, Tarkowski is talking to Mykolenko and obviously Young was right full as well. And so I think Tarky has really been pivotal to Brantwaite's progression this year. And look, he hasn't reached his full potential yet, you know. That's
the scary thing.
Yeah, he's only 21, the lad, you know. So there's still certainly more in my mind to come from him, but he's a terrific footballer, Joe. And as you rightly said, he's deceptively quick. You know, I noticed it on Wednesday, I noticed it in the game of Wednesday time. I know that the one you were talking about Antonio, he was able to recover. But yeah, he's this very special player, you know, the kind of way he really is.
Yeah, think about what Colin said there, Tarkowski's guiding him and telling him, Chris. But the thing about that, he's listening and he's taking it in and he's reacting to it, or, you know, taking that advice on board. But he's not shy about talking to himself. Like, he's not too shy. Like, he gave Mykolenko a bit of a roast in there. So he's not shy about, you know, speaking himself.
No, absolutely not. I think even before he went out on loan to PSV, everyone's been kind of talking about Brantway for years, really, since we brought him onto the scene. He just has all the attributes, you know. He's a big lad. Was he 6'4", 6'5"? Very rare you get a good left-footed centre-back. They're hard to come by. But he's good on the ball as well, you know, as well as in the air. And like you said, he's quick. He just takes huge strides, but he takes quick strides as well. But the physicality, like, it's not even though he's a yard dog, the bully Antonio, the way he did, it was very impressive, you know. He just brushed him off and cracked on. But to have such composure on the ball, both feet, for a player of his age, he's not afraid to play the ball through the middle. He rarely, just aimlessly launches the ball up the pitch. Of course, there's a time and a place for it. You're under pressure, you want to clear your lines, but generally speaking, if there is a pass on, he'll get his foot on the ball and he'll play it into midfield. And they just complement each other so well. Now, we've talked about like partnership, but balance as well. Even Mykolenko is starting to look a lot better now because we look more balanced. Mykolenko left-footed, playing left-back. There's no square pegs and round holes. You've a left centre-back, left-footed centre-back playing, you know, Tarkowski right-footed, right. And look, Young is going to be in and out. Good news, Coleman's back on the scene as well. Now, hopefully it won't be too long before he's back in the matchday squad. So we've plenty of options there between Coleman, Patterson and Young. Coleman is probably still, you know, our best right back, I would think, possibly. But Patterson, I think, is definitely going to grow into that position anyway. You know, the way Mikulenko's come along, I'm sure Patterson will come into his own as well. We said before, he only had about 50-odd appearances for senior football when we brought him in from Rangers, you know. So he's still only in his infancy. And he's done well in patches, you know. So, again, options. It's great to have the options. But, yeah, look, he is an asset. And the better he plays for us and he gets called up to the England squad, it's just his valuation goes up and up and up, you know. You would like to think we'd be in a position where we could retain him if we were playing in Europe or whatever, and he'd be happy to stay. And, you know, it depends how he gets advised as well. There's been players that have left probably too soon and then they don't get into, you know, if he was to go to, say, Chelsea, or you're probably looking at City, to be honest with you, the obvious ones. But is he ready to go, you know, step up to a level like that? Probably not. Is it better for his development to stay with us for a couple of years and really grow into his... Because even if he's with Everton for another 2 years, he's only 23. He's still nowhere near his peak for a centre-back. He's years and years of development to go. So you would hope he would show a little bit of loyalty and he won't move off too soon if the opportunity presented itself. But I think we should probably not just think too much about it. Just enjoy him while we have him, and hopefully that not get carried away as well. Like, at times, fans are fickle based on results. We overrate or underrate certain players to go from brilliant to shite in the space of 3 or 4 days, depending on results, you know. But I think we should just, you know, just keep our feet on the ground, just enjoy him while we have him. Hopefully he keeps producing and contributing to clean sheets and 3 points, and we can get ourselves up the table. And just like, you know, there's a lot of external factors that we can't control as fans in terms of the financial situation and, you know, all these court cases hanging over the club's head that we may have to generate more income from somewhere, and we can't really control that, unfortunately. You just have to hope that, and I think we have shown signs of our recruitment, you know, improving. If he was to be sacrificed and sold, that we would reinvest quite well. And we already, Kevin Telwell seems to have done well. Even players we've missed out on, they've been on his shortlist. We just haven't got over the line. Seems to be targeting the right caliber and the right kind of players now. You would hope that we'd be trying to attract. But if you look, fair play to him. And again, in bit of luck, injury wise, he stays injury free. We can keep that partnership with him and Tarkowski for as long as possible, because once him or Tarkowski drops out, that quality drop, there's nothing there. Kane is diabolical. Godfrey, he won't. You know, he's gone. I think he'll be gone summer, January or the summer, definitely. I just think he just needs a change of scenery to try and reboot his career, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah. I think Godfrey is similar to where Brantwaite was. I know he got a bad injury, but he just never progressed. He just, and it says it all, like, if Michael Keane's getting the game before you, that's just enough. Just a quick mention before we move on to the Bournemouth game. Todd Pickford was excellent. A couple of good saves. Kept in the game. West Ham weren't up to much, really, to be honest. No, they had a lot of possession, like we said earlier, but Pickford pulled off a couple of good saves there just to keep us in it, and we should have actually went to up the Corey. I thought he took that shot a little bit early, but anyway, picking bones of a feast. We'll move on to the cup game. I know you said earlier we're over there, Colly. I just want to mention as well, a bit of emotional actually, the tribute to Bill Kenwright before the game, and it was good to see his partner and his daughter there, and then Joe Roy come out obviously as well. But it seemed to feed into the game a little afterwards, because I know we mentioned it the other night, it was very, very flat. Atmosphere was very, very quiet.
Yeah, it was, Joe. It was a full house as well, which I wasn't expecting, to be honest with you. But it was flat. And you know what? You're right in what you're saying. It was a tremendous appreciation of Bill Kenwright. You know, you know, we spoke last week on the pod, set aside the last few years. That man was an Evertonian, like us all, you know, the kind of way. And And that's why you got to remember him, boy. And it was great to see, as you said, his daughter and his partner come out, and they laid wreaths in the middle of the park, and you know, songs were played, and fans sang songs and stuff. But the game was a bit flat, Joe. And then, see, there was issues as well. Now, I didn't have any issues going in, but there was issues with tickets going in. There was a problem with turnstiles or something like that.
I think they're trying a new system, to be honest. And I don't know what's going on, but it was digital, and some printed tickets didn't even work, so I don't know what's going on. Now, an email went around through the day explaining the situation and basically asking fans again to get in early, but I know you said you were in there early, you were in the ground early. Michaela went as well. She was there in the 7:05, but a lot of fans don't. Plus, on a Wednesday night, people rushing to get from work to the match. So there's a lot of factors there, but I think it was just a glitch. And some people missed 5, 7, 8 minutes of the game. But again, I think, like the email said, lessons will be learned on both sides. Couldn't get there a little bit early. I don't think there was any hassle, like trouble-wise. I think it was just an inconvenience.
No, that's all. There was no hassle, Joe. And yeah, inconvenience is the right word. Certainly around where I was sitting. And there was a few lads that definitely arrived on the later side or after the whistle had blown to start the game. But, you know, I think they were more just maybe pissed off rather than nothing else, you know, the kind of way. But, and the game got on and went on. And, you know what, Joe, I've been to Goodison Park quite a good few times down through the years. I've never witnessed a game like that, in that we didn't actually get out of second or third gear. And if you really needed to, I actually thought I was at the wrong game. I had a few beers during the day, you know, and I said, am I right? But Burnley are absolutely shocking side. If they survive in the Premiership, it will be a miracle. But they're shocking, Joe. You know, they're kind of. But that's not to take away. I thought we played really well. I know we've already spoken about Brantwaite. I mentioned on Anna earlier on. I've been a big fan since he came in. Last year was his kind of fourth season in, still getting used to the Premiership. But I just think, by accident, Dyche has found his right position. He's the six. And, you know, I just thought he was immense. You know, he certainly loves playing her up to the crowd. I know you've given out about him once or twice in the past.
He's a cheerleader, but he had to be a footballer first. That's 100%.
But, you know, the work rate of the likes of Dwight McNeil, Harrison, my God, them boys just don't stop running. James Garner. So you know, he reminded me a bit of James McCarthy the other night. He literally tackled everything. The one player I don't think we will see next year is Dan Juma. I just don't think he's Dyche's player. He doesn't seem to do enough. And then Bethel came on, and I never noticed him before. It was a bit of a kind of... He's still adapting to the Premiership, but he is physical. You know, the kind of way, and he bullied his way around the defender for the third goal, and the praise he got. It was great to see him because he reacted down to the crowd, you know, the kind of way. Yeah. He came across as quite humble, you know. I don't think he's the most technical of players, but he'll certainly give you everything he has, you know, the kind of way for the small time he's on the pitch. But again, Mikulenko thought he was excellent. He's really come on over the last little while. Again, maybe is he being given a specific task to do? He does that. Dyche isn't expecting miracles from him. I don't think there's too much pressure on him. But we're very comfortable, Joe, Wednesday night, and fully, fully deserve to be in the hat for the next draw, that's for sure, next round.
Yeah, and the last thing is, Chris, we spoke a few times about, like, our away form this year is actually very, very good, probably better than our home form. But I said, can you have the same approach to away as home? Don't be having different systems, not even systems, just different mentality. And again, I went into the stats for the Burnley game, and it was very, very similar to the West Ham, where, like Collie said, Burnley were shocking, they're brutal. But it did 62% possession. So, like, we just did the same as the West Ham game. They are, let's have the ball. Like they had only like one shot on target, and I think it was late on. But it's the same approach. Let teams have the ball. But the key is the word you use all the time, transition. And we're finally getting that right.
I think in certain games you do have to play as your away team, even at home. But, you know, in recent times, as fans, we want to see at home at Goodison front foot football, you know, pressing high, getting stuck in, putting tackles in, especially when you're playing a team where there's an expectancy of us to beat them, the likes of your Lutons or your Burnleys or whoever it may be. We're expected to take the initiative and get on the front foot and play football. And I think we come a bit agitated as fans at times when we're surrendering possession to a team we deem inferior. And we're kind of waiting. We want to see us take the game with a neck and dictate. And so it's a tricky one because sometimes that's the tactic. But the players respond to the crowd when the crowd are kind of encouraging them to, you know, step on, press up, get up the pitch. And that can probably be to our detriment at times. I think this game against Brighton is probably going to be a prime example. I think their tactic is they want you to press. They want you to draw you in because technically they're good enough to just play through the press, open up the pitch and play it through the middle and then they're in. At Goodison, generally speaking, we don't want to be sitting back at home against Brighton or anybody, but that's going to be the game plan. And I think we have to show that bit of patience now and understand that this is our tactic. We're going to be compact. We're going to press at the right times. We're going to try and turn the ball over in midfield. And we're just going to try and be clinical on the break and set pieces. We're not going to out-football them. And I think the way results have been going, there's a bit more of an understanding, a bit more patience now to kind of trust the process and kind of seeing a reoccurring theme of, you know, how games are going to go, how we stay in games and how we approach them and what we're trying to do. So I think there's going to be a little bit more buy-in now, hopefully, from the fan base. But that's where, yeah, at certain times, I think with the Burnley game, there was that expectancy for us to just turn up and win because we've come off a few decent results. And that in itself, Goodison's always been like that. I think every stadium is like that now in the league. You're expecting to win. So fans are just kind of sitting there waiting to be, you know, waiting to be entertained, waiting for you to create, waiting for the goals to come. And that can hinder the atmosphere as well. And look, all the factors that Collie said, the Kenroy thing, people coming in late, people pissed off, getting, you know, not having to go around to the box office for their tickets. And it's just one of them things, I guess. And I suppose away from the league form as well, it's an opportunity for people to just watch a game without a huge amount of stress because we're not really expecting to win the cup, you know. So there's not as much riding on it, I guess. So there's a bit more calmness amongst the crowd to kind of let things just play out. And, you know, so yeah, just all those factors. But I think now next round against Fulham, it'll definitely step on a little bit. We can kind of sense that there is a, you know, a possibility for us to get somewhere in the competition now. And I'm just glad to see Dyche go with a full team. We were wondering, will he make a few changes? Like two changes he made, but the quality drop off wasn't a whole lot there, you know, resting the core. But look, we've been asking for the last couple of years is just a professional performance, just a routine home win. And the last two at home have been routine home wins. So hopefully we're finally turning that tide at home now, and it's finding that balance between being effective, you know, and getting the results as well, and not just playing for the sake of it.
I think the key as well, Collie, is, and Chris just nailed on the head there, we have to be patient. We can't be getting on the players' backs if it's not happening after 20, 25 minutes, half an hour. And I think we're getting that from the fan base. This patience.
Yeah, as a fan base, we do have to be patient, and you know, unfortunately, over the last maybe two or three years, we haven't been as patient as probably we should have been. That then feeds into the players, and the players then, you know, the kind of way.
Yeah, it's factors that gone on around, I think, have contributed to that as well. Yeah.
Without a lot of
shit off the pitch and everything. And everything's just, it's like a frustrated from the very start, I think. So there's other things rather than a football have been at play, I think.
That's why you kind of wish that they just hurry up and decide whatever our fate would be, so that we could draw a line underneath that. At the moment, it's almost like a siege mentality, Joe, but everyone seems to be against us, you know. Now, there has been, in fairness, one or two top journalists has come out and written in defence of the club and the fans, you know, that kind of way. But I personally would like to just kind of draw a line underneath it and we get on, so that sometimes you just get fed up with seeing everything in the headlines for the wrong reasons, if you know what I mean. Well, look, these things will happen. I couldn't agree more with Chris that we do have to be patient. But we are seeing things differently, Joe, and we are seeing things certainly improving, that's for sure. And the team are responding to whatever is being said in training. And thankfully, that's leading to a few more points in the league and obviously getting through the quarterfinals in the cup.
Yeah, I think a cup run always gives the confidence and it bleeds into the league form. Hopefully. Anyway, that's the plan. We just quick mention for Beto. I thought he just works his arse off, and like the run he made for that the Ashley Young goal, it just brushed the man off, and the man was pulling at him. Just strength and eagerness to get to the ball and put the ball and a great ball in, but a quick mention to him. Okay, so we'll just finish off now. I know we're under pressure time wise. Going into the Brighton game, Chris, I kind of looked, but Brighton are flying high, they're at seventh. But as good as you think they are, they've only one win at seven, which was against Ajax, who are absolutely dirt this season. So, like, they've only one win at seven. Two wins in nine, which is kind of surprising when they look at it like that. But I'd be confident going into this after the last three games and the form are in at home, especially.
Yeah, we just have to play as the away team. Like, I don't think the blueprint we used at the Amex when we had that unreal win, like, that just was the perfect storm for us. Everything went right on the night, it just clicked. Mm. Like, they're not naive. They have a good manager. I don't think they're going to set up the exact same way again and play into our hands. It's going to be a completely different game. But, you know, we definitely do have to play as the away team, be patient. We know they're going to have probably 60-65% of the ball. But it's what we do with it when we do get it, when we press at the right times. You know, against set pieces, I think they're definitely vulnerable from set pieces. So, balls into the box. And you just hope that we get a bit of confidence. And there's a bit of a monkey off the back at Goodison now, back-to-back wins, so we play with a little bit more freedom. And Brighton are probably expecting to win, to be fair, you know. Like, the bookies would probably have Brighton now as a favourite. And if they were to beat us, you'd be probably saying, well, I can't say I wouldn't. We at least get something out of it. If we can get 4 points from Brighton and Palace going into the next international break, I think that's a really good return. You'd be sitting on 14 points from, 12 games, which is just over a point a game. And I think we'd be looking quite good. But it could be one of them. We just have to kind of ride the storm out for 2025. We might not for an awful lot going forward, but we have to stay in the game and keep them to nil and grow into the game, I think, as much as we can at the right moments.
Yeah, I know it sounds absolutely stupid, Colly, but it's true. First goal is key to this, because we get first goal, it gives us something to hang on to. Well, again, we can sit in, and that's going to be the game now. We're just going to sit there, let them have possession. I know I'm worried about Ferguson and Matoma especially, but just be compact, as Chris said, and just let them have the ball. Obviously cut out, which we seem to have done the last few games, cut out these individual errors and stupid, silly mistakes. But we just need to stay in the game as long as possible.
Yeah, we do, Joe, and the first goal will be imperative tomorrow. We still do this thing about the right foot drops in almost to the centre half, so you leave a lot of space on the right hand side, and Mitoma will use that space, you know. But Brighton heading on a great run, Joe, as you already said. Read a few things and heard a few things on various podcasts that things in the camp don't seem to be too great in Brighton. I think there's a lot of criticism of De Zerbi using Steele in goal. He's made a hell of a lot of mistakes recently, but he seems to be have confidence in him, and he continues to play him. I know. Listen to one particular podcast, non-Everton related one, that seems to be certainly an issue at the moment at Brighton. So, as Chris rightly said, we're on a bit of a run in Goodison. Hopefully that continues tomorrow. I can't see us losing, but I can't see us winning either. So if we're going into score predictions, Joe, I'm going to go 1-0.
1-0 for Collie. Okay, Chris?
I'll go 2-2.
1-0. Okay, I'm going to go 2-1 Everton. Again, just a few factors. They're not in good form at all. And we seem to have, like I said, turned the corner. And we just look confident, especially at the back. We just look rock solid at the back. So I'm going to go 2-1. And hopefully an awful line over in the morning early. So long day. Hopefully the usual story when you win, you're looking to puck out and flight on Sunday morning. So, okay. Listen, lads, thanks very much for today.
See you, Joe.
Hopefully we'll talk about it next week. See you, boys. Look after yourself.
See you, boys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in joining the Irish Toffee Supporters Club, just send an email to memberships@irish-toffees.com or visit our website www.irish-toffees.com. Up the Toffees.